Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, March the 4th, 2021. 14 minutes past the hour. And a lot of discussion in hour number one about the whole Dr. Seuss thing, which we now have learned that I guess it is not a book ban, because the suggestion that these books be removed actually came from his estate. So if you have anything to say about this, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, we thank the Marion Star for the article that's in today's paper about the interview we did with Mayor Schertzer yesterday. We thank them for mentioning that and including our interview in their article. Now, if anybody has anything to say about that, please feel free to call in, because I was looking on social media this morning, and this story is getting a lot of play. As I said in hour number one, some stories just come and go, but this one is shaping up to be a real knockdown dragout, because there are a group of people who are at odds here. And they all seem to be in city government. And I don't know where this is all going to go. Let's just put it that way. There is some real disagreements. Let's put it a nice way. Some real disagreements going on in city government over this $1.28 million. And we did have the mayor on yesterday. He was invited. And we have invited Auditor Landon to come on. Because we do not want to be one-sided. We want to offer everybody a chance to speak. Now, I have not heard anything back from Robert Landon, but he's welcome to come in anytime we have a slot, and we would make time for him if I am here any morning, 8 to 10. So that invitation has been extended, and I think sometimes you have to say that. Because I think the impression given is that you invite one side on, and they come on, and then you just give one side of the story. Well, in this particular case, the mayor and the auditor were both invited on, probably within 10 minutes of each other. And the mayor accepted, and we put him on, and we would do the same for the auditor. That's trying to be as fair as you can be. So, that's the way it is. 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say about that story, or if you want to talk about the whole Dr. Seuss thing, we can talk about that as well. Also, do want to thank Nate Redman and Terry Tackett for doing really the engineering for last night's broadcast from Stewart's Root Beer. Appreciate that quite a bit. So thank you to Nate, and thank you to Terry for being a part of that. Now, did anybody hear the broadcast last night? Because as I was talking about with Adam, I didn't get a chance to hear it because I was a part of it. Could you hear it okay? Do you like things like that? Do you like us going out into the public and broadcasting from different places? If you do, let me know, because we would be happy to do a little more of that if it's something you like. I don't know what the quality was last night, because again, I did not get to hear it, and you know, there just is a lot of noise when you're out, certainly at a restaurant that is very, very busy, which Stewart's was last night. So, 740-383-9944. Did you hear the broadcast last night? And if so, do you like it? Would you like to hear more of that? And how do you think it came across on the air last night? Give us a buzz. You know, also, we have not heard from, we heard yesterday from one of our regular callers who I had not heard from in a while, the gentleman and his wife who listen, older couple in their 80s. Always fun to talk with them. But there was a lady who called in quite a bit here for a number of weeks who talked about being a gourmet cook and have not heard from her in probably 3-4 weeks now. So I don't know what became of her. I hope she's doing okay. And if she's out there, give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you and know that you are doing well. So that's on the table this morning as well. Did you like the broadcast last night from Stewart's? Did you get a chance to listen to it? We hope the lady, and I call her the lady who said she was a gourmet cook, because I don't think we ever got her name. So hope she's still out there listening. And other than that, anything that's on your mind, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's always good to have any kind of discussion possible here on the program in the morning. That is what we are here for. Yesterday, I don't want to forget about this, we had a dozen donuts. Not donuts. Why do I always say donuts? It's cookies. We're getting a phone call, then we'll come back to this momentarily. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I didn't get the radio turned on this morning until after 8:30. I didn't know who the man was you were talking with.
I think it was Adam this morning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize his voice. Well, just a quick comment about this whole thing with these Dr. Seuss books. This really annoys me because I know we have freedom of speech and all that, but when we start banning books, especially children's books, I get really concerned. And I just don't quite understand the theory behind the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting because at the end of the first hour, I don't know if you heard, but a lady called in and said that she researched this because we were not sure who was trying to do this. And it's actually his estate. It's the company itself that is saying, we want to preserve his legacy in a certain way. So they're the ones who are.
Yeah, I did hear that report on the news. I think it was last night. It was on the national news. And it just kind of bothered me. I don't, maybe I'm looking at things wrong, but I don't know. Just the whole idea of banning books for whatever reason just doesn't sit well with me.
Well, you know, here's what I keep asking. How do you ban a book? Just literally, I'm not even sure how you do. Do you stop manufacturing it? I mean, I'm sure there are millions of copies of these books in circulation.
Well, there have to be, and I don't know whether you caught it this morning, but there was a story on the news this morning where these books now, one of them in particular, was selling for $675 on the Internet.
Now, see, that's
and
weird.
And this is what's going to happen, and that's crazy.
Well, that's weird to me, because, see, here's what I don't understand. If you didn't want the book, which obviously they didn't when it was, you know, $10, why all of a sudden, is that just a political thing? Is that just I stand behind this book staying on the shelf that you're willing to pay $600 for it?
Well, greed pops into my mind at first. I'm sure there's some underlying reason, but having grown up post World War II and the whole thing with Hitler and banning books just doesn't sit well with me. And maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree on this one, but I don't know. I just don't like that idea, and it just concerns me. If you start with one thing, where does it lead to?
Now, doesn't an institution, though, have to ban the book? Because, like with this Mulberry Street book, which apparently is the one that has some Asian problem in it. Okay, there are millions of this in circulation. So unless an institution like a school or a city or a college said you cannot I don't even know how a book banning would take place.
Yeah, I don't know either, unless all of a sudden the government gets involved and says, well, you got to turn these books in.
Which I can't.
Hope we never get to that point,
no.
Obviously.
No, but, and I can't see that, yeah. I don't know. It's just odd to me, because if it is his, which I'm sure there are some family members involved here, if it is his family that wants to do away with these books for some kind of reason, you know what it reminds me of in a way, and it's a far different thing, but it reminds me of Thomas Jefferson, because people love Thomas Jefferson's writings. They love his contributions to the Constitution. They love all that. Mm-hmm. But the Jefferson Bible, which is very atheistic, mm-hmm. he definitely was an atheist, was held, that was held away and not talked about and not published in great detail for a long, long time. No. Because his family, I assume, who had possession of it, did not want people to know that he felt this way.
Well, I guess it's probably the same thing that's happening here, and I can understand. I guess I can understand their right to do what they want to do, but it just the whole issue just doesn't set well with me. So I don't know. It's not my call, since I'm not the family, the person that wrote the book. But, and I've never read that particular Dr. Seuss. I know when my son was growing up, we read Dr. Seuss books, but, and I don't remember the ones that are banned. I only remember the Cat in the Hat, some of those more popular ones, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, it's just like the Aunt Jemima bottles and the Uncle Ben's rice boxes that I expect to start seeing in antique malls now with high price tags.
Well, it's interesting because I think the bottom line here is, for whatever reason the family is deciding to do this, it's all about image. And I wonder, when we look at other situations where similar things have happened, like with Thomas Jefferson, learning that he was very much toward the atheistic side and had a lot of problems with the Bible, does that change our image of him? Does that make him less of a person, less of a contributor? Did it change a lot of people's minds? I don't know.
Well, it could have. Speaking as a historian, it doesn't change my opinion of him. Based on what he did historically and for the country. But I guess, you know, it depends on the individual. And that's why I guess we have freedom to think for ourselves in this country.
So. But, you know, the one final thing on this, and I think about this a lot, and maybe it's because a few of his shows are available now on Roku, which is what I watch most of my television on now, Bill Cosby. Now, Bill Cosby the man clearly is a flawed man at this point and clearly has a flawed legacy being in prison. But his shows, the shows are not bad, but yet people have stopped buying them. People have stopped selling them. Now, is that the right thing to do? I don't know.
Well, again, I think it's an independently thinking thing. You have to make up your own mind which way you want to go with it. Personally, you know, again, watching his shows, they were all family-oriented. They were teaching. There was usually some underlying lesson to be learned from the shows. But then again, as you say, you look at him as an individual and what he did in his life, not good. But then, you know, think about All in the Family and what lessons All in the Family was teaching back in the day when that was a popular show. And you don't see that on television anymore.
No, and that's an irony to the whole thing, is obviously we don't know of any imperfections that Carol O'Connor had as a person, but yet the character he played was not a good person. But you know what? I'll tell you. One time I heard Norman Lear, who's still alive, who created these shows, All in the Family, and I even heard Carol O'Connor talk about this at one point, and one of the criticisms of All in the Family was that it was a caricature. This was supposed to be a caricature of a person, Archie Bunker, and people were supposed to laugh at him, but they found out when the show became so popular that it was 50-50, people thought he was right. Half the people were saying, go get him, Arch, and what you're saying is right. And Gary Burbank, when he came on, I was kind of shocked, because when he was talking about the 35 years of Earl Pitts, he said, I wrote this as a joke. You're supposed to laugh at Earl Pitts and think he's wrong, but people don't think he's wrong. People say, go get him, Earl. So I don't know if satire like that works. It's hard because not everybody does laugh.
Well, look at the climate that we're in today. If that show was brought back and played in reruns as a regular featured show once a week, twice a week, whatever, how many people in the country would jump on the bandwagon and say, hey, this is us, you know? And there again, it's the people out there that discriminate, the white supremacists, people like that. So I think you're absolutely right.
It's a very hard thing to figure out, because I don't know if the creator thinks it's a joke and thinks it's just there to make people laugh and it's supposed to be a caricature, but people don't get that. Right. I don't know what you do. I don't know how in the end, because does that stroke the fire of these issues that they're trying to make fun of, but yet maybe they're creating a hero, you know.
Right, that they're taken very seriously by a certain faction of the people.
Yeah, it's an odd question.
It is.
Well,
it
hey,
is.
Thanks for
but
calling.
I'm still against banning books of any kind.
I can understand that. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So buzz back in. Would love to hear your opinion on that. That to me is fascinating in a lot of ways, because the late Carol O'Connor, who portrayed Archie Bunker, said many times this was a character who was supposed to be laughed at. You were not supposed to agree with him, and what he found was people were agreeing with him, that people got behind him. And Gary Burbank has said the same thing on this show when it came to Earl Pitts. This is supposed to be a character you laugh at. What he's saying is not supposed to be the right thing, but yet a lot of people think it is the right thing and think, go get him, Earl. And a lot of people felt that Earl Pitts was a real person. So it's a complicated subject, because I don't know how you delineate between the people portraying them and the caricature that they're trying to create. Because once you put something out in the world, people take it all kinds of different ways. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. But the questions this morning are, what do you make about the whole Dr. Seuss situation? Did you hear the remote last night from Stewart's? Did it sound okay? Would you like us to do more stuff like that? And anything else on your mind, if you want to talk about this whole issue going on in the city, heavens knows they're talking about it on social media this morning, and there are a lot of hurt, it seems like there are a lot of bruised feelings about this whole thing, and a lot, everybody's got an opinion, not just the people involved in it, but the city, the county, people in general, everybody on social media. You know, it seems like everybody's starting to pick a side, and here we go, and what will happen? You know, I think we have to know exactly what happened first, and I'm not exactly sure that we do know what happened. But once we figure out what happened, I think we can go from there. But phone lines are open. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Now, also, I do want to say again that yesterday we were donated a dozen cookies from Angie, who makes these unbelievable cookies. Now, these are for St. Patrick's Day. Now, we don't want to do just basic trivia to give these cookies away. So, is there any contest people could think of, a way that we could give away these cookies? Because I believe St. Patrick's Day is on the 17th. So we would have to do this either tomorrow or one day next week. Does anybody have an idea of how this should be done? Because you'd probably have to put the order in early next week to have them by St. Patrick's Day. They're good cookies. I guess we can say that. But I'm not sure how to do it. I'm not sure that we have come up with a way to do it yet. I don't know if we'll ask a trivia question and we'll put your name in a hopper and draw out a winner at the end. I know that's been very popular over the years to do it that way. I don't know if we'll see who can answer the most trivia questions correctly. Maybe we'll do it that way. Just trying to think of a fair way to do it, so everybody can get involved, because we really have not given away anything on this program for quite a while. So if anybody has any ideas on how to give away this dozen cookies, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. 32 and a half minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. You know, recently I got into the Marion Star Archives online. You know, you can get lost in those archives looking up things from yesteryear. We talk a lot about things that happened, but to get an accurate depiction of what was going on is really something totally different. So I appreciate that, what the Marion Star does, making those archives available. Has anybody ever went through those archives and seen all the stuff that is in there? It's unbelievable. All the stuff you can pull up and look at from yesteryear. Fascinating. And again, last night, I'll tell you one of the things, talking about the remote that we did last night from Stewart's that was a lot of fun, is the group of people. Sometimes you're with a group of people that you think, oh man, this is not going very well. Because people are sometimes in a bad mood, or they're not being very helpful, or just things of that nature. But last night, there was no impression of that at all. The group I was with was great. You know, Michelle obviously was there, as she owns the place, and she's always a lot of fun. And Mary Ellen was great, as she always is. And Angie was great, as she always is. And Abby was great, as she always is. And we just had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun doing something out of the ordinary. Getting out of the studio and doing something out of the ordinary. And we talked to Adam earlier, and apparently those shows will be available on the website sometime today, so you can listen to those programs. When you're around a lot of good, fun people, it makes the life and night a lot easier when you're in a particular situation like that. And it was just a lot of fun. Oh, and I did want to make mention of this, because we did put pictures on Facebook of what happened last night. Now, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we were sitting down eating. So I think most people who go into restaurants at this point do not have their mask on when they're sitting at a counter eating. So, you know, that's pretty much what the picture was. But we've done a lot of that. You know, I remember during the Christmas party here at the station, we take a group picture every year. And during the entire Christmas show, we all had our masks on. Everybody who was here had a mask on. If you would have seen a picture from the Christmas party where we were actually on the air and a lot of pictures were taken of that, everybody had a mask on. But when we got up to take the group picture, everybody took their mask on off for just as long as it took to take the picture. We all held our breath, and then we all sat back down. And that's pretty much what was going on last night, was that we were eating. I don't know how you eat with a mask on. I mean, you can see or drink with a mask on. You can see the mugs of root beer on the counter. So that's pretty much all that was going on there last night. The mask thing is interesting from that perspective, because obviously you can't eat or drink with a mask on. So, you know, you need to wear it in public in certain places. But if you're eating or drinking, I don't think anybody has said that you need to wear a mask, which really shines a light on part of this mask thing. Because if I'm sitting at a table having dinner with somebody, which nobody has said I can't do, and we don't have masks on because we're eating, then what makes the difference if you take a picture with a mask on or not? I don't really understand it. But that's what went on as far as the mask goes. Not that there was a lot of people complaining. And we were the only ones on the inside. I think maybe 3 or 4 other people came in to pick up things. It wasn't a whole big large group. I think most people were eating in their cars last night. And that's the way it went. You know, I had never seen the place that busy. Now, I'm sure it has been that busy in the past. I just haven't been there. But boy, they were doing quite the business last night, and that was really great to see. Now, here's something I want to address. If you heard the broadcast last night, apparently, we didn't have any dramas last night like me allegedly yelling at Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen and I got along just fine last night. But apparently I can't remember people's names for some reason. Now, I can remember people's names, but here is the problem. Sometimes when a name is close to another name, you mispronounce the name, or you say another name altogether. Now, you're not trying to be rude when you do this. It's just you don't. It's one of those things that happens. Hasn't anybody else ever called somebody by the wrong name? Now, obviously, I have done this. So, this happened again last night. You know what the problem is? I'll tell you what the main problem is. The problem is that you don't want to say somebody's name wrong. So, rather than say their name wrong on the air, you just shorten it up. Like, if I can't remember what your last name is, or I think I'm going to say your last name wrong, because I don't use everybody's last name every day. You know, usually I just see their first name, and that's about it. So, instead of mispronouncing it in the moment, if it's not on the top of your head, even if you think you know what it is, I think you opt not to say it. That's just what I do. Now, it's not that I don't know it, and I'm sure if you quiz me long enough, I could come up with it. But that's what happened last night. So there was just one of those things that happened last night. Wasn't a mispronunciation. It was more of a just I didn't say it as I was announcing everybody else's last name. Which I don't think is that bad. I really don't think that's that bad of a thing to do. But, you know, some people get a little perturbed. What can you do? Oh, life goes on, I guess, in these particular situations. Did anybody do anything fun last night? Did anybody go out and walk and enjoy the nice weather? Maybe go out to the tall grass trail. Just go out and be in the nice weather. The 50-degree weather. Now, somebody told me last night that this is, what is it called? Fool's Spring? It's a Fool's Spring because it's giving us a false belief that this is spring because we're having nice weather. I don't know. I'm seeing the extended forecast, and I'm seeing that it's going to be 60 next week. We're getting awful close to the first day of spring, which is March 21st, and the temperatures are seemingly staying right up there. So I would think the closer we get to the first day of spring, with the temperatures staying where they are, that we might not go back into the freeze. Now, I'm not saying we might not have a snow. We might. But I don't think it's going to be anything like what we had in February. I think we've gotten through that. I don't think we'll go back in that direction. But has anybody ever heard of Fool's Spring? That's the first time I'd ever heard of that. Fool's Spring. Any thoughts? 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Lots of topics on the table this morning. Now, what are some other things? Well, here comes a phone call. And some other things we did not get on the table the other day. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I've got a question to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
I've got the old map in like 1996 and 97 of the city and the businesses.
Right.
On Stewart's, they have 1925. Is that just actually put on there because of when they opened?
Well, I'll tell you, this is an interesting thing because when we know that the chain opened in Mansfield in 1924, but last year we thought it was the 95th grand opening because a lot of people do believe it opened in 1925, but I think it was Don Perrin. Somebody called in yesterday on behalf of Don Perrin, who owned it at one point, and said, I mean, he knew the woman's name who originally had owned it, and he said that she opened it up in 1926.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it was mistakenly put on that map, but I think we can hammer it down to being opened in 1925 or 1926. You know, I would think it would be on the property, you know, the deed to the building or something.
Right. But that's what I was wondering when I went over, you know.
Now, did you get a chance to hear the broadcast last night?
Yeah. You sounded pretty good, but your background skip, you know, was kind of sometimes like it sounded like a muffle, but you could understand what everybody was saying, but you could tell by the business in the place that it was, you know, causing a problem, a little bit of problem on the sound coming out. So.
You know, I'll tell you, the I could not believe how busy it was.
I know we went by. And we went like 4, around 5, and it was just like when you pulled in, it was just backed up in there and stuff, and we just kept on going. So we kept running up and down through there, and I said, enough of this, we'll give it another time when they're not busy.
Oh, it was just unbelievably busy, which is great to see, but
yeah.
Just unbelievably busy. But, you know, it is interesting when you do a remote like that and you've got milkshakes being made and your people talking in the room. You know, you just get background noise, but as long as everybody who was on the broadcast was able to be heard, that's all we need.
Yeah, did you ever tell her you made that chicken call?
Well, you know what? I
because you brought it up, asked if he had any, you know, calls to come in that was weird or something, and she said, yes, he had one about a chicken. Somebody asked about chicken.
Well, I'll tell you, here's what happened with that. Well, it was interesting because, you know, obviously I made the call. Now, she will tell you that she knew it was me. I don't believe she did because I have heard her kid around before, and in the background, it did not seem like she knew it was me. And what happened was, right after I made that call, Abby, you know, the other one in the group, she sent a message to a group chat that we're all in. She sent a message saying, stop bothering Michelle, she's busy. So I think that's when Michelle became aware that it was me, because then she said, well, I knew it was you. But I don't think she did know it was me when I called in.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I thought it was kind of funny, you know, and then the way she said it, and then when you asked if they're going to have that remote or something, and the girls went last year, and she said, she wasn't for sure or something, and I thought, well, doesn't she know it's going to happen?
Right. Well, see, and that's why I think she didn't know, which is fine either way, but I don't think she did know it was me because she was never on the phone and she didn't hear my voice, and the girl did not say, who answered the phone, she didn't say anything in regard to that. So I don't think she did know it was me. I think Abby tipped her off, who must have been listening, but it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, but it was a great broadcast and everything. But like I said, you could understand all right. So enjoyed it all. So I just wanted to call in and find out.
Well, good. Now, could you hear Mary Ellen okay?
Yeah, I heard her fine.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it all turned out okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. So now we just need somebody to check their deed. And we would know who would have that deed. That would be Michelle. Is it 1925 or 1926? I'm sure it's on there, and I'm sure the original owner's name would be on there. I would guess. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
You were talking yesterday about having the Coney or whatever. Did you have it? Yeah, I didn't hear you mention anything about it.
Oh, the Coney dog. Well, I'll tell you what happened. During the break, during the first hour, everybody was kind of busy, so we didn't order any food until we came up on the 7 o'clock break last night, and I ordered a Coney dog during the 7 o'clock break, but I was talking a lot, and I never got a chance to eat it while I was on the air, but I did eat it last night, and there were beans in it, and it was good. It was a good Coney dog. Have you ever had one from over there?
Yeah.
Now, did you?
I said, yeah, they're good. But when you talk about the beans, because people make it different ways, but I like it better with the beans.
With the beans. Now, did you get a chance to hear the broadcast last night?
Yeah.
Now, how did it sound to you?
It sounded pretty good.
Good. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, that's all we care about is, that's all we care about, is that we sounded okay last night. You know, it's just tough when you're in a room where there's a lot of noise. You just have to deal with that. But I think people know you're out on a remote, so there is just going to be a lot of noise. And as long as you heard everybody, everything's okay. But we're going to get to the bottom of this when Stewart's was opened, 1925 or 1926. We've nailed it down to 2 years, but we're not sure which of the 2 years it was, 1925 or 1926, but we do know who the original owner was, and maybe we'll double check that, because I'm sure the original deed is there somewhere. Michelle will check that out. But I don't believe she did know it was me, but Abby tipped her off. Now, I think by the time we got there last night, she knew it was me, but I think Abby tipped her off on this, but I guess we'll never know at this particular point. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Anything you would like to talk about, I'd be glad to talk with you about. Now, here's the thing. Now, we'll take a little vote on this. Now, also, does anybody have any idea of how I should give away these dozen cookies that were given to us? We need to do it early next week so people can place their order for St. Patrick's Day. But Michelle has been after me for a couple years now, to give her the recipe for the everything sauce that used to be so popular at the, I think it was the hot dog stand, over on Main Street. And Mary Ellen and I had a conversation about this in the car last night as we were driving home. Now, do you think that I should give out the recipe for the everything sauce? Now, I know it's been given out in the past, but not in quantity. Because the problem is, as I was talking to Mary Ellen about, if you know how it tastes, you really have to have somebody there making it the first time who knows how it tastes. Because it's very easily messed up, because it's not so much measured out that way. You've just got to have somebody who can tell you the ingredients and can make it for you the first time so you know how it's supposed to taste, and then they can continue to make it and figure out, get the consistency right, is pretty much. And that everything sauce was very popular, probably the most popular item on a hot dog for many years here in Marion. So do you think I should give this out? That is the question. Do you think I should whip this everything recipe out? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
On this Landon deal, you know, on that 941 that they made a mistake?
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You know, that young man's going to be under the microscope with everybody, because the other party don't like him at all. So anything goes wrong, it's going to be his fault. Has anybody else ever made a mistake? You think he wanted to do that, or did he? He didn't do it, but do you think he wanted that to happen? They're acting like Searcher. He thinks he's like a cover-up or whatever. Has the city ever made mistakes? Just for instance, down there across from the police station, that parking, you back in, you pull up and back in. Well, why don't they do that all over town that way, if that's so damn good, when you think about it? You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I think has happened in this particular situation, and this is all I can ascertain from this. I think the problem is that this $1.28 million was wrongly paid to the state. Now,
yes.
That I don't think in and of itself would have been a big issue. I think what the issue is that Landon, to our knowledge, did not tell anybody. And still to this, until he went to city council on Monday, had not told anybody. Now,
I
don't know why he didn't go to the mayor or to the city council or the city council has a finance committee. I mean, why wouldn't you go to them as soon as you found out it happened and say, and you're right, everybody does make mistakes, and say, listen, I made this mistake, what should I do? But what happened was he didn't do that and then paid the IRS another $1.28 million without recovering the money from the state first, which the money still hasn't been recovered from the state, and we think it will be, but it hasn't yet. So there's a question of, did he have the authority to do that without consulting the finance committee or the mayor or the city council? And where did that money come from? Because now, as where we sit right now, we have got, what is it, over $2.5 million missing from the city's budget when we only should have 1.28 missing.
I know. I think he had the excess in there, so he had that money when he found out. And I don't think he found that out till at least the middle of the month of February, if I read right.
Well, I think he had to know when he paid the IRS, because wouldn't you be, I'm sure the IRS would be sending you letters saying, why haven't you paid us?
Well, the IRS is pretty slow. I knew a woman the other day just got her 2017 return back, and she had a refund coming. She got it, but she just got it, she told me. And she works at one of these stores that I go to. Okay? And another thing, while I'm on the phone, I told you about Don Perrin yesterday about Stewart's Root Beer.
Right.
And I'll bet on him it was 1926, because Don gave me the whole spill, was telling me, and I wasn't paying too much attention, but he told me who had it from the original till somebody else, till he bought it, till he sold it, and down the line. He knew that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, and I think that's probably accurate, because he had the woman's name. But, you know, on the Landon story, I do want to give the other side as well, because I think also one of the issues is, with this particular instance, is that, as I say, I invited him to come on here, and not to get in an argument with the mayor, because when I invited him on here, I didn't even know the mayor was going to come on. He had not accepted the invitation either. But, you know, I think it would be nice to ask Landon some of these questions. You know, when did you, I don't know why, I think that's what's making this a bigger issue, is these questions are not really being answered. Everybody's saying, well, why is Landon being picked on? Well, I mean, he has to know by now when he knew that this mistake was made. He has to know who he consulted to see if he could pay the IRS without consulting city council or the finance committee. I would hope the auditor would know where that extra money came from. If it was an excess, I don't know why he just doesn't say that, but he's not doing that, and I don't know why. It just seems, and he's more than welcome to come on and explain this all to us and explain why the mayor is wrong and everybody else is wrong, but I think, I'm not sure why he's not doing that.
Okay, just like on the voting thing, you know, he's going to be going to court, I guess, you know, and that was, they highlighted the vote this way or that way. You know, right there to start with, it was against him. I'm not saying he did do it or he didn't do it, but I doubt if he did it. I've met the guy about 3 different times, and he seemed like he's a genuine guy. And if you do anything right in this country, it seems like, if you really try to do things right, everybody's always going to try to knock you down for some reason. You know, they sure like bad people, it seems like. You can do some bad stuff and get by with it, you know.
Well, I would like to know why, and get the other side of the story. I mean, it's all about perspective. I'm not there while any of this is going on, but, you know, the mayor said yesterday he has always met with whoever the auditor was once a month. And he said that Landon has only come to these meetings 3 times.
Yeah.
And I would like to know why that is.
I think before, the mayor was good friends with the auditor that was in there over the years, which is okay. I understand that. So maybe him being in there and being new, he's got a lot to look after, you know, and getting onto the job of everything. I'm just saying.
Right. Well, and I'm not saying Landon is wrong. I just think that the mayor is asking questions and asking for documentations, and I think as the chief executive of the city, he's allowed to do that of the auditor. And why the auditor is not providing that information, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, time will see, and we'll see this other thing coming up, this other judge. See how he comes out.
Well, that's a whole, right, and that's, you know, we will find out. Now, he claims that he's innocent and he has not resigned his position, so I believe that trial starts this month, so I guess we will see.
I could make a prediction, but I'll hold it, but I'd like to tell somebody what I really would think he would get.
I don't know what'll happen. I would hope that a judge who has stayed in the position this long, he must know something that we don't know. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I guess we'll find out in the trial.
I'll tell you what, you do that and see how long you're going to be out there. You're not going to be out there very damn long.
Well, that's right. If you
don't have.
Right, but I wonder what did happen. You know, there's a lot of questions in that story that I really don't understand either. I don't know why it took so long for that to become public. You know, that event happened, I think, on Memorial Day, and I don't think it became public till sometime in July.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen, probably. They'll get probation, and maybe a hefty fine, which money ain't going to be a big issue because he's getting paid for doing nothing right now. And I've never seen too many jobs that you get paid when you do nothing, you know. But probably probation and a good hefty fine, and that will cool some people. Like, well, that's okay. Well, if that's the case, then they ought to do that with everybody.
Well,
all the laws are supposed to be the same, but they're not.
Well, it's interesting.
You know they're not.
The mayor and the sheriff have both called for him to resign even before the trial started.
Yeah.
So I think no matter what the outcome of the trial is, they will stick by those beliefs. So
I think he should resign too. Yes.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, and that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. We can continue on with everything we've done today. But again, I thank Michelle over at Stewart's and the whole gang that was there last night, and Nate and Terry back here in the studio, and Mary Ellen for coming out last night. It was a lot of fun, and appreciate everybody who listened out there. Glenn Coble next from 10 until 12, and then Swap Shop from 12 until 1, and Adam today from 2 until 3. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see? How did it happen?
All right, well, as I walked through the door, I could see, I've always made it a habit in my career, especially as a detective, if I went into a room where there's more than one people around, I did a quick look over of all of them. Up and down, and so I saw Ruby. He was standing there, and he was holding that pistol in his left hand, pressed against his leg, just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters.